Morning, Calvary. Welcome to the house of the Lord on this beautiful day. Isn't it great to be here? Amen. And I wanted to say that I'm glad to be back. I'm so grateful to Pastor LaRonda Barnes for preaching for me while I was gone the last two Sundays. It's always good to get away and have some time apart and get some rest and relaxation. But I tell you what, it's great to come home. Great to come home and be with you. I am so glad to be with you today. Before we do our announcements, I'm going to ask that we turn to our neighbors in the pew or in front of you or behind you and welcome them in the name of Christ's peace. Will you pass the peace of Christ today? Peace be with you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Change of pace. I have to apologize for not being able to be here for the last two Sundays, but Ron filled in for me as being liturgist this month while I was recovering my little bout I had back in the month of August, and he did a superb job, so we'll give you a change of pace today. Most of the announcements I think you've seen on a screen, I'd like to reemphasize some of those. First of all, I'd like to make sure you record your attendance today with the attendance pad and pass it down the row so those sitting on the same row with you know who you are. Also, we have the Salty Service cards that you'll find in the pew in front of you, in addition to the prayer request cards and prayer praises that we have. Sometimes we forget to fill those out, and if you would, remember to put those in the offering plate. There are baked goods that were left over from our craft sale affair yesterday in the hallway out there. The prices are marked on them, and there's a basket for you to put your contributions in. So if you're interested in them, we'd like to have all of it disappear before today's over with. The pumpkins will be coming next Saturday. On the 4th, not next Saturday, the 4th of October. Around 9 o'clock, and we're requesting help from anyone and everyone that's able to help unload the pumpkins. There is a poster across from the office for you to sign up to work in the pumpkin patch during the entire month of October. During the week, it starts at noon and go until dusk. And on Saturday and Sunday, we have a little more extended hours. And also, you got a card and with a bulletin this morning. And if you would, if you can participate in that, please fill that out and put that in the collection plate also. And how many of us that are here today remember when the United Methodist men used to serve breakfast on Saturday morning? Well, we're going to resume that activity. I think under the Larry Root is going to be in charge of that, correct? Do you have a menu for us?
Pancakes, scrambled eggs, sausage, gravy, grits, homemade biscuits.
Bacon? So we're going to have a good activity again, and the cost is only going to be $5 per person, so I encourage you to do that, and that will be starting up next Saturday. And the actual serving time, I think, is from 9. Start serving at 9 o'clock, and we'll go until 11 o'clock. So let's actively support that and come out and get a good breakfast, sleep a little bit later that day, and then come in and get a good breakfast. Also in the rear, you will find a sign-up sheet for a name tag. So the council has decided that it would be a good idea if everyone in the church had a name tag so that those of us that used to know everybody will get to know those faces that we see on a week-to-week basis, but we can't put a name with them. And Roxanne is supposed to be in the back this morning at the sign-up table. So if you would, we want to get a complete list of those so that we can get a name tag. And the name tag, since it's not a fundraising idea or project, it's going to cost, each one will cost $5 a piece. So I encourage you to do that. And we'd like to have a complete list as possible. We might not get them all done at one time, but at least we'll be working on them from week to week. And the worship committee is looking for a head usher. We lost our head usher several months ago, and we need someone to be in charge of just corralling the ushers and making sure that we have one for the worship services. So if we have anyone who is interested in doing that. Also, we're looking for a communication angel for the second service. And if anyone would be interested in those two positions, please contact either Connie Laurie or Pastor Esther, and we'll find give you more details specific. Yes, ma'am?
It's a communion angel.
Oh! I got communication. I misinterpreted the word. I can't read my own writing. It is communion, and for the second service. A little bit of difference in the communion service. In the first service, we have communion every Sunday. And then in the second service, as you know, we only have communion once a month. So we need someone with responsibility of preparing the communion on Sunday in addition to cleaning up after the worship service. Get that correct. Oh, okay. Actually, I also noticed on the screen, we started a new Bible study on Thursday evening at 7 o'clock. This past Thursday was our first gathering, and we will have it again starting this week. We have material and stuff for everyone who would like to come. It's open for anyone. We had approximately 15 people there this past Tuesday. And just to extend the invitation to the entire congregation, if you'd like to participate, come on out. The executive committee will be meeting this evening at 6:30. This is the committee of the church council that meets in the off months, or the odd months, shall I say, of the full church council. And anyone is invited to attend those meetings. And now, we say we have some additional announcements.
There's been a pumpkin patch meeting Tuesday to set up. It's been changed to Wednesday, 5:30. We're wanting to get the fence put up, all the pallets put out, the tents moved. So if you can volunteer a little bit of time, we'd like to have you up here Wednesday afternoon at 5:30.
So as you can see, there's a lot of activities that need to take place in order for us to have another successful year in our pumpkin patch. And we get complete exposure not only to our immediate community, but everybody that goes up and down Blanding Avenue knows that we're having a pumpkin patch and knows where our church are, and it's a way of them recognizing who we are here at Calvary. I think it's all of the announcements. Does anybody have any from the congregation? If you would, please stand and turn to page 155 in our hymnal, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name.
Thank you. name of God and give thanks.
Make known God's deeds among the people.
Sing and tell of God's wonderful works.
Let those who seek God rejoice in their hearts.
Let's worship God and pray together.
Lord, whether we have come to you from long ago, or have just come to you now, you reach out with love and blessing for each one of us. Help us remember your mercy and your love and offer greetings and blessings to each other in your name. Amen.
Let us unite in this historic confession of the Christian faith that you will find on 889 in your hymnals. An affirmation from 1 Timothy. There is one God and there is one mediator, Christ Jesus, who came as a ransom for all, to whom we testify.
This saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and was manifested in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed in throughout the world, taken up in glory. Great indeed is the mystery of the gospel. Amen.
Children to come forward to the altar. You see, I brought out my basket of candy, and everybody here knows, they're looking at it very intently, that at the end of this, you get a piece of candy, one piece of candy. And that makes it so that you want to come up. Even if you might be a little bit anxious about being in front of people, or if you don't know who I am and say, I don't know who she is, you can come up anyway because you know you're going to get a piece of candy, right? Well, let me ask you a question. Is it fair if someone, some child comes late to church service and doesn't come to the children's time, but comes after the children's time, is it fair for that child to get a piece of candy? Oh, everybody says yes. Everybody says yes. I thought you were going to say no. I thought you would tell me that it wouldn't be fair if they didn't come till after the children's time was over. But you know what? You said exactly what God says. God says, I'm not fair, I'm loving. God is love. It doesn't say in the Bible God is fair, it says God is love. And the loving thing to do is to give a piece of candy to the children who even come late and don't come to the children's time. So we want to give as much love and grace as we possibly can to whoever comes, don't we? And you're going to get a piece of candy as soon as we have a word of prayer. We thank you, O God, that you taught us that things aren't necessarily fair, but that you love us and that you offer us love no matter when we come to you. Whether we come early or late, you are there, and we praise you and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Now you may have a piece of candy, one piece. forward for the presentation of our tithes and offerings. For your tender mercies every single day. We pray your blessing upon every gift and every giver, and that they may be used for the work of your kingdom in this church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. So are you. So are you. We find our church where we want to consider ourselves a compromise for you. And after a few moments, if you call, share the name of someone, a place in the world, or a situation in life that you feel needs God's healing touch in a very special way today. Let us pray. Suffer from Ebola outbreaks. Hear our prayers, O Lord. We pray today, Lord of justice and mercy, to help us when we quibble over perceived injustices, when we look around us and see mercy being offered to others when we feel they've done little to deserve it. Our world is in such bad shape. There are true injustices and horrible situations in which peace and mercy seem to be dim and distant hope. Give us eyes to see where justice and compassion may be offered. Give us hearts to reach out to those who are new in faith and who struggle in life. Enable and strengthen each one of us in your service, that we may offer your peace and hope to others, not counting the cost, but sharing the wealth of your mercy and love. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and in his words, we pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
If you stand and turn in your hymnal, page 133, we'll sing Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
Leaning on the everlasting arms. beginning in verse 1 through verse 16. Down on page 26 in the Pew Bible, if you'd like to follow along there. If not, it'll be shown on the screen also. The laborers in the vineyard. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. About 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, "Why are you standing idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When the evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." Those hired about the clock came, he told them the usual day wage. When the first came, they thought they received more. Each of them also received the usual day wage. When they received it, they grumbled and complained on saying, "These last days worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the whole day. I am doing you wrong. Do you not agree with me for the usual day wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I chose to give to this less the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do so? But I chose what belongs to me. Or are you envious because I'm generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. For God is for God. Thank you, God."
People say the darndest thing about you're a pastor. They corner you in all sorts of situations and places and ask you the deepest things. I have a friend who refuses to tell strangers when he's lying. He refuses to tell them he's a pastor. He tells them he's a professor or a teacher or something like that because he doesn't want to get into a deep theological conversation at 2,000 feet. Another pastor I know tells a story about the time the plumber came to his house after his pipes burst during a cold street where he lived. He says, "There we were, plumber or not, shivering in my backyard, getting wet in some freezing weather, trying to get my pump running, when he learns I'm a preacher. He talks a bit about the church he attends and how long he's been going, and suddenly he stops working and stands there with a wrench in his hand, and he says, 'Preacher, can I ask you something?' 'Certainly,' the preacher said cautiously. 'What is it?' Well, he looked off into the distance, and then he turned and squinted at the pastor and said, 'This here Hitler fellow, if before he died, he was to have told God he was sorry and all, would God forgive him? Would he get to go to heaven?'" You don't have to be a sharp knife in the drawer to know that this was a question the plumber had been carrying around for a long time. And it wasn't really about Hitler. It was about something else. Very cautiously, the pastor said, "Well, if he was repentant, and I would trust God to know whether he was telling the truth, then the answer is yes, God would forgive him." The plumber's face turned red, and he threw down the chain. "That's not fair. That's just not fair. It's like I've never lived my whole life, and then something starts and get saved, and then it's all right. It's just not fair, I tell you. It's just not fair is the theme of the day. In addition to the parable, I want to remind you of the story of Jonah as well, the reluctant prophet. Both the book of Jonah, which is not a very long book, you should go home and read it after this if you haven't done it recently. The book of Jonah and the parable of Jesus that Gene read for us are both told in the style of a humorous story or joke. Most parables had some twist in them. They go from basic believability to exaggeration and hyperbole in order to drive their point home. So in both stories, in both Jonah and the parable that we heard, God doesn't measure divine grace as a reward for goodness. And those of us who think we've been good enough to earn that grace often resent and object to God's love and generosity for others. Well, if you don't remember the story of Jonah, he's told Nineveh and preached, converted the people there, but he runs away instead. He doesn't want to go. So what happened next? He gets swallowed by a big fish and then regurgitated back upon the shore. That's not the point. That's the exaggeration part. The point is, if God wants you to do something, you may as well do it. Running away won't do you any good. So Jonah goes to Nineveh, and he finally preaches to the people. And much to his annoyance, the people repent. And God relents from the disaster he was going to bring upon them. And everybody's happy except for Jonah. He gets depressed. Jonah said, "It's not fair. I knew it. You wouldn't do it. You sent me over here to preach to these evil people in Nineveh. And you had me tell them all about how you were going to destroy them because of their evil ways. But I just knew it. I knew you wouldn't do it. I knew you would get all soft and generous and merciful and leave me looking like a fool. It's not fair, I tell you. It's just not fair." Jonah was not a happy camper. And in the gospel lesson, Jesus starts out with a story that sounds very reasonable. The owner of the vineyard needed extra workers during the day, during the harvest. And so most of the small towns and farming communities had a corner or a place where day laborers would gather, where landowners could come and get their work, hoping to be hired. And throughout the day, this landowner, he hires some people at the early part of the day, the mid part of the day, the late part of the day. He goes back and hires them more, and he pays them all the same. Everybody gets paid the same no matter when they were hired, whether they were hired in the morning or whether they were hired 1 hour before the end of the workday. Well, when the ones who worked all day found out that they were being paid the same as the people who worked only an hour, they were furious. They threw down their tools and they sulked and they mumbled among themselves. And you know what they said? "It's not fair. It's just not fair. We worked all day and in the heat of the sun. And they just worked a little bit in the cool of the evening and they get the same amount of money? It's not fair, I tell you. It's just not fair." It's a hard lesson to learn. To not be jealous and resentful when it appears that others are faring better than we are. For no good reason. All of us, if we're honest, all of us at one time or another wonder, well, why him and not me? Why them and not us? What have they done that I haven't done? What have they got that I don't have? It's not fair. It's just not fair. And God's answer to all that is, you're right. Life is not fair. I am not fair. I am God, not a mechanistic dispenser of divine favor in response to supposed human merit. I created the world. I created all the people, and I love all the people, and I desire only what is best for all the people I created. Therefore, I do what is best for them, not what another of my children thinks is fair. There were two brothers who worked on their uncle's tobacco farm one summer. This was a while back, as you may gather. Well, Uncle L.W. made one boy his paymaster. And so every Saturday afternoon, he figured up the hours, and he did the math, and he wrote the checks for Uncle L.W. to sign. One Saturday, as they were walking home, the boy who was the paymaster told his brother that Joe was paid more than they were. And they were both angry about this. It wasn't fair. Joe was nowhere near as good at harvesting tobacco as they were. One brother worked up his courage, and after church one Sunday at the grandparents', he broached the subject with his uncle. His uncle squinted at him and then tossed a cigarette butt into the yard and said, "Well, hello here, boy. I don't pay him more because he deserves it. I pay him more because he needs it. Them little youngins would starve to death if I didn't pay him a little more." So it is with God and us. God's grace does not come to us because we deserve it, because we've earned it, because we've tried harder, because we're better than our neighbors. It comes to us because we need it. God's love for us is not meted out to us in miserly portions according to our good deeds and faithful actions. Instead, it is poured out upon us in a generous and loving way because we all so desperately need it so much. Amen. And amen.
If you'd all stand and look to the screen behind me.
Neighbors and our friends, and we see the good things that happen to them, and we think, well, why not me? Why couldn't that happen to me? It's not fair. But what God says is, His love and grace is sufficient for you, poured out on you, and that you may have newness of life and love and abundance in his name. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, our heavenly Creator, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest now and abide with each of you, now and always. Go in his peace.